Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. I'm Biz, and I'm here talking to Corey from ReWaste today about how he diverts plastic from going to landfill. Hi, Corey. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So give me a little bit of an overview of what ReWaste is all about.
Sure. So ReWaste is focused on repurposing plastic waste. So we're developing a process to work with cities, businesses, and people to divert their plastics from the landfill and repurpose it into 100% recycled plastic products. There's a whole process involved in how we collect the plastic, to clean the plastic, to producing the plastic flake, which produces our products.
Okay, so I've kind of seen some of the info on your website, and I see all these little beautiful colored discs on there. So what exactly are those? Are those just what they look like before they're a product, or is that what you're selling?
Yeah, so that's what I'm selling. So those little discs, I'm marketing those as coasters right now. And there's a lot of different applications, especially as we evolve in different shapes. But right now, that was my way to start selling a product to see if there is an end market. And so I started calling them coasters, just so people would be able to relate and maybe have a need for them in their house. And so that's what we started selling. And the plastic that's used to produce them, those are all your hand sanitizer or hand sanitizing wipe containers, like Folgers coffee containers. So tons of different plastic containers go into producing these products.
Yeah, they're very beautiful, honestly.
Yeah, thanks.
So I thought maybe they were tiles for like backsplash or something like that.
Yeah, they can be used for that. So many people have reached out asking for floor tile or wall tile or backsplash tile. And we've done backsplash applications or wall tile applications. But until we get any testing on the plastic products, I'm not going to market them as a floor tile just because we haven't done any load tests. I'm not going to market them as food grade approved just because, you know, I haven't done any testing. So there's lots of different applications that we'll continue to explore, but we're just limited to what we can market it as without the testing.
Right. So things that are in work for the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Lots of ideas and directions to go. So what kinds of things are you making? What are your products at this time?
Yeah. So our point of entry was to create coasters. And so that's just the circle disc made from a lot of different plastics. We did a project with Goodwill Impact Center in the West End of Edmonton, and we applied the hexagon tiles as wall protection, so like a wall tile. And we proved that concept that these tiles have a function and can be applied to certain applications. And so now what I'm focused on going into 2021 is how else can plastic be used? So I'm starting to produce more plastic sheets. So these plastic sheets are about 12 inches by 12 inches, maybe a little bigger. But now it's, can these sheets be used as shelving, for example? And how are we going to support that shelving on a wall? And so now I've started creating some plastic beams that will act as a building material to fasten these shelves to a wall. So it's really just continuing to develop proof of concept and see how these plastic application really serves a purpose. My wife and I have a young family and three kids, and my 5-year-old really likes to be involved. And so I made her like a little plastic hair clip as well. So just like this plastic sheet, I cut it into strips and then just glued a little strip of plastic onto a gator clip to make this little hair clip. So in terms of applications, I'm finding they're endless.
Oh, that's so sweet. Are you working out of your home then?
I am, out of my garage. Yes. Yes. My wife can't park in the garage right now because there's so much plastic in there.
Oh dear.
Yes. Yeah. So one side of the garage, I'll give you a little overview of what the garage looks like, but one side of the garage is full of plastic, about 275 pounds worth of plastic from our Beaumont pilot project. And the other side of the garage is more of like the workshop where there's some workbenches. There's a couple of griddles. Yes, griddles that you eat pancakes with. Not so much these anymore, but that's what I use as a sheet press. And then there's a very small injection machine. And when people hear injection machine, they think of like a big piece of equipment that can automatically just produce like 100,000 different molds in like a day. And that's not the case. This is very small scale, very manual processes. I can do about 7 coasters in an hour, just to give you an idea of how slow of a process it is. And then there's also a very small scale shredder that will shred the plastic instead of having me cut it with tin snips or scissors.
So what kind of plastics are you collecting and where are you getting them from?
What we're trying to do is work with every type of plastic. And to have an impact on this plastic problem, we can't just focus on one single stream of plastic. So we're accepting all plastics, but early on, it started off as collecting plastic from our house and repurposing that. And then once I was able to handle all of our plastic, then I opened it up to some friends and family. So then after a few weeks, I had to cut that program off because there was just too much. It filled up the shed. And I was like, okay, that's way too much. And then my dad, he was able to track down these hand sanitizing wipe containers. That is very common with COVID right now. He was able to collect like 500 to 600 of these containers. So that ended up filling up the garage. And then, yeah, I just have little pilot projects that I do where I'll collect different plastics from different people or different companies. But right now there's been so many people that have reached out wanting to contribute their plastic, but I am at capacity, especially just with the Beaumont pilot project wrapping up. So I have more than enough right now.
Right. I want to come back to the Beaumont pilot project in a second, but So I personally think that the best way to deal with the plastic problem is to turn the tap off and stop creating this single-use garbage. But I understand that there is a need for it. So how much of an effect do you feel like your process will have on reducing waste?
Like you said, there is a use for this plastic. And what I'm finding right now is, you know, especially just out of my garage, you know, like I'm not making a huge impact right now. But what I'm finding is I have a lot of conversations with different people or companies that the plastic that they're considering a waste and wanting to give me to process, instead of having them buy a virgin plastic that they've been buying for a long time, I have a conversation of, is it possible to repurpose this plastic and have a need for your business or have it applied to something that you need in the future? With those conversations, it'll support a reduction of their need for virgin plastic, because our recycled plastic products can perform the exact same function as what this virgin plastic is doing. I think, you know, to answer your question, what kind of impact will this have? Like I said, I'm small scale right now, and hopefully what we'll be able to do is just slowly work with businesses to limit the amount of virgin plastic that they are currently purchasing. But there still is that need for plastic to be produced by these large manufacturing companies. And hopefully there'll be some policy changes where these bigger companies will have to incorporate a certain percentage of recycled plastic.
Yeah, I by no means am I expecting that you alone are going to save the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're just new, right? You haven't been doing this for too long. So it'll grow, and it's more the concept of the process with the end of life in mind of the plastic that is a huge deal. And I think that's great to see.
Yeah, another concept that we're looking at, and I talked about this previously, but it's just looking at the size of these facilities that are required right now to process all of the garbage or plastic waste or recycling. And these are large facilities that we're talking about with huge equipment. So right off the bat, you know, plastic is being discarded because it might just fall through the shaker screen and then just get either incinerated or taken to the landfill. There's an opportunity to set up little micro recycling facilities where it'll allow more hands-on and less discarded plastic waste, because this system would be designed to be small scale, to work with every single type of plastic. So that's something that I'm exploring as we enter 2021 as well.
So how much of what you're using is plastic that couldn't be recycled? It would just this only be able to go to the landfill otherwise?
I haven't worked with a plastic that I haven't been able to melt and repurpose into something. That includes single-use plastic bags, straws, stir sticks, coffee cup lids, plastic containers, plastic cutlery. So right now, I'm the only thing that will end up in the garbage in my garage is if the plastic is scorched and it's burnt and I can't repurpose it. And that does happen because I am experimenting with a lot of household appliances, and there are the failed projects. But this is just also providing data so that as we do scale, we'll have a database of what plastic works with what applications, and there'll be minimal waste at the end of the day.
Yeah, because I even see things like chip bags mm-hmm. on your website here, which I know can't be thrown into your recycle bin by any means.
Yeah, that was a fun project. And again, my wife and I have three young kids, and there was pencil crayons all over the place. And so there was a freezer bag that we were about to throw out, and I just said, can I sew this and add a liner and a zipper to it? And so I made a prototype, and thankfully Goodwill featured me on their virtual sustainability show. There was somebody that actually bought these bags. And so I had to engage my mom, and she's retired now, and she got one of her retired friends to work on this project. And so they ended up making the bags way more functional and way more appealing than what I could ever do. But what it was is, are we able to repurpose bags like these? Like, big companies spend tons of marketing dollars to make their products look good, and then we just throw them in the garbage and then they go to landfill. So I was like, well, these bags already look good. Can we not just sew them together and get extra uses on them? And we proved that, and there's an end market for that as well.
Yeah, I do see that strawberry zipper bag on your website as well. Mm-hmm. It's very cute.
Yeah,
so let's circle back to the Beaumont pilot project. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was a great opportunity. I wanted to focus on Beaumont because at the time they had a pilot project that they had going on that had an autonomous shuttle driving around their city. And I was like, holy, for a municipality to be able to do that, like, this should be an easy pilot project compared to that one. And so I reached out to John Stewart on LinkedIn and just said, I have this idea for plastic waste, and are you interested in meeting? And we were able to set up a meeting the next week. And since then, the pilot project evolved from the initial idea, but we ended up getting 66 people signed up for this pilot project, and it ran over 3 weeks. I wasn't too concerned with collecting, you know, thousands of pounds of plastic. I was more so interested in the data that would be received from each household that would contribute their plastic. So we'd be able to use that data to forecast what all of Beaumont would produce in post-consumer plastic waste. And so that was the driving force behind this this pilot project, was to project a total volume that is produced for the city of Beaumont, and can we design a process to handle that volume and produce the plastic flake and then allow us to produce products with that plastic. So that was a little bit of an overview. We had it set up for 3 weeks. The first week I thought it would just filter out, you know, if people had some stockpiles of plastic because they didn't want to just put it in recycling. And I thought it would just filter some of that stockpile out. The second week I thought it would be more consistent for the plastic that we'd be collecting. And by the third week, I thought we'd have enough repetition and enough consistency with the program that would be the most accurate week to represent what amount of plastic is produced per household. So yeah, we went through 3 weeks, and we really focused on that third week of plastic collection for our data.
So what surprised you about the data that you collected?
I don't know if there was any big surprise, but maybe just confirming the volume of clamshells and how it's considered a non-recycled plastic right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, the seeing and handling that amount was a surreal experience. And every time we're touching this plastic and recording this as data, just to know that right off the bat, we're not able to recycle this plastic. It's automatically just going to the garbage. So for me, it was more of the realization and looking at all of this plastic and saying, we can find applications and we can do better than the alternative right now.
It was probably a very large volume for a fairly small number of people, hey?
Yes, It was.
And an alarming amount of plastic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So in total, we collected 275 pounds of plastic over the 3 weeks. So I'll have a meeting with the city of Beaumont at the end of January, as well as all the residents that participated in the pilot project, just to share the results. And yeah, they're all going to have different perspectives and have their own takeaways that are super interesting to them. But for me, it was more so the visual understanding of this large amount of plastic that has no opportunity to be recycled or upcycled.
So where are you collecting your plastic from for your regular products?
Yeah, so I'm not collecting anymore just because there's so much. But like I said, a big one was my dad being able to source all these hand sanitizer containers. Sherwin-Williams reached out and said, hey, we have some clean paint pail lids that haven't been used, and we just throw them in recycling or in the garbage, and would you be interested in them? So I've picked those up. I still have quite a few left. And then some people will drop off like DVD cases, for example. We've recently just shredded a bunch of those, so we have lots of that plastic left. And then if I need like a certain color, I might just go into the Beaumont Pilot Project stockpile and pull out like a Folgers coffee container, cornstarch or mustard container, as well as like there's so many yogurt containers. So I've shredded a bunch of those and making sheets with yogurt containers, or that hair clip was with yogurt containers. But we're also still producing plastic waste on our end. Like we go through little diaper genies, so I'll shred those up and melt them into a sheet or a coaster. So yeah, but I don't need, you know, 50 pounds of plastic for one night of melting plastic into products. A coaster is about 26 to 50 grams, and a sheet can range from 1 kilogram or less. So it's not big products that I'm making. More so just experimenting with proof of concept and finding an application for that product.
To scale up eventually.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. You're not looking for anyone to drop off more stuff for you.
Oh, as much as I would love to say yes, I've had to politely decline quite a few people to date and just say, once we get a bigger space, which will hopefully be in the next 4 to 6 months, then we'll be able to revisit these conversations with people that wanted to drop off plastic and help contribute.
I imagine what you are looking for is more people who need products, though.
Yeah. So early on, we were focusing on business to consumer. So obviously, we just with the online store, we focused to the customer, but right now we're actually working on a few deals with businesses, retail businesses that can act as our wholesaler, and then they'll sell the product at their stores. So yeah, we're still focused on the consumer, but also now working with wholesalers to then sell our products in their brick and mortar. There's also, like I said earlier, there's an opportunity to work with businesses to sell them plastic that they need for their business, and now it can be recycled, and that's what we're showing. So also just working on B2B as well.
Cool. So what actually initially sparked your interest in trying to reduce this plastic problem?
So my background is in construction. So early on in construction, I'd see the amount of waste generated from a construction project, and whether it was wood or plastic or whatever it might be, I always questioned, can we do something else with this? So then, like many other Edmontonians, I was laid off at the start of COVID, and I thought, well, there's some time and we have lots of plastic, so why not just start this passion project and see where it takes me? And so it really started off in our house and working with single-use plastic bags and seeing if we're able to turn that bag into like a hard disc that you see as a coaster now. And once we were able to prove we're able to change this bag into a hard, dense plastic tile, then it's just slowly grown over time.
those little coasters are just so pretty.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun. So I'm a little bit artistic. Like I paint with acrylics. Mm-hmm. So it's also taking like creativity and applying it to these products as opposed to just melting it and making like something gray or black. So yeah, it's the products. I'm really happy with how they're turning out.
Yeah, I was looking at your strawberry zipper bag.
Yeah.
And the little tote bag from the chip bag. And I did something very, very similar out of old banners. I was making like wallets and that sort of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Are you planning on doing more of that as well? Or is it more the harder plastics?
I'm open to anything. And it's whatever the market is pushing for. Mm-hmm. And then other pilot project. I think we talked about Beaumont. I think we talked about Goodwill. I am doing one with a hair salon.
What are you doing with the hair salon?
So that's with Q Hair out of the West End of Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And they've been in business for about 40 years and they've been conscious about their recyclables that are produced from their salon. And I recently had a meeting with Wendy Betts, who's the owner there, and just showed her that I was producing some recycled plastic combs. And she's like, oh my gosh, I love this. And, you know, I think our stylist can use this and I think we'd be able to sell it out of our store. And so I said, okay, well, why don't we just do a small pilot project? Let me collect some of the plastic that you produce in your shop. And then let's turn it into something that your salon can use, whether it's combs or picks or clips or little bags, you know, whatever you think your salon will use, let's create that and then develop a circular economy with all the plastic that is being produced from your salon. And so, yeah, we've just launched a pilot project. We're just starting the collection and then sorting all of the plastic by type and also by brand. So we'll get an idea of who the bigger producers are and then be able to identify what types of applications we can apply the plastic to.
That's awesome. Garbage coming from them, but then turned into something that they can use themselves. That's pretty great.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. Anything else going on?
Yeah, we just are about to launch a pilot project with the TELUS World of Science Edmonton. And this was a fun one because I was contacted by their exhibit designer, Aaron, who just reached out and said, hey, we produce some plastic waste at the TELUS World of Science Edmonton. I'm interested to see if we're going to be able to repurpose it with some examples that you've already shown. There's plastic produced by our cafeteria. There's plastic that's produced from the exhibits that we put on. And there might be a really cool way that we'd be able to repurpose it. And so we had a great first meeting and I went out to their exhibit design shop and just saw what they do. And from there, we just decided that we'll do a small pilot project. We'll put a little bucket out in the cafeteria. And obviously there's reduced capacities just with COVID restrictions, but we'll also have a little write-up that will just give an overview of ReWaste and this pilot project. So he then took that for approval. And the next week, there was a meeting with 10 managers and directors from the TELUS World of Science Edmonton. And in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I hope there's no negative implications for Aaron for, you know, bringing this to the attention of TELUS World of Science Edmonton. So we get on this call and I give an overview of ReWaste and these pilot projects and the data that we're able to collect from these projects. And within minutes, they could understand what ReWaste was trying to do and how we repurpose plastic waste and how it's not very common yet. By the end of the meeting, we are all on the same page. We're moving forward with the pilot project and even talking about ideas on how to reintroduce this plastic waste as a product for the TELUS World of Science Edmonton to be able to use. And so we were talking about just the initial steps of a collection. So collect for a certain time frame, create that database, be able to produce some prototype products, and then pitch it to the TELUS World of Science Edmonton and see if we can get approval to do more. So I thought with their dinosaur exhibit that is coming up Family Day long weekend, I thought it might be really interesting to streamline the collection, streamline some of the products that we'd be able to produce. So that way, when there's people that are there for the dinosaur exhibit, that they'd be able to at least see the results, the early results of this pilot project. And so what we're going to do is we're going to collect, we started collecting some plastic, and then we're going to turn that into a plastic sheet. And then TELUS World of Science Edmonton is going to use their CNC machine to cut some dinosaurs out of these plastic sheets that would be produced from their plastic waste, just to tie it in with their dinosaur exhibit. So that, you know, like just to work with forward-thinking organizations and really see how there is an opportunity to do something differently. Working with TELUS World of Science Edmonton, they're also taking it as we have the opportunity to educate our customers and partners and show them what can be done with plastic and not rely on the blue bag program or just bringing it to the landfills. But instead, they're looking at it that they can be a leader and really emphasize that education piece. So just to show the steps and what they're doing. So it's really fun to be a part of.
Very cool. So Is all the plastic that they're producing going back to their own exhibits, or is it going to become something else as well? Or is it just too early to tell?
Yeah, it's too early to really tell, but, you know, we might be able to do some small products to complement the exhibits that are going on, or even just repurposing some of their plastic waste and making a product that they'd be able to potentially sell in their gift stores. So there's a lot of different ideas, and we just have to see what we're able to collect, what type of plastics it is, what type of application makes sense, and just start exploring. Right now, it's too early to tell exactly what it's going to be applied to, but there's definitely some options being discussed.
You definitely have a lot on the go. Sounds like it's a lot of fun, though.
It sure is. And what's fun about it is using creativity to solve this massive problem. And I'm not directly from the environmental industry or the plastics industry. So I'm coming at it this with a completely different perspective than what somebody else might be looking at it that has way more knowledge than I do about these specific chemical properties or, you know, this certain business model. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun to apply that creativity to help solve this this plastic problem.
Well, I mean, that's what it's all about. Okay, so where can people find you if they want to find more information?
Sure. So our website is www.rewaste.ca. We're on social media. So we have Instagram, which is our primary, but that's rewaste.ca, and then we have our Facebook one and Twitter as well. What is it? rewaste_ca is our Twitter, and then Facebook is just rewaste. But yeah, I'm definitely open to having lots of conversations, because everybody's going to have their own perspective with what can happen with plastic waste, and it's just so interesting to hear how they think it can be repurposed. And so yeah, if people want to reach out, I'm definitely interested in having conversations.
Beautiful. And I will post all of those options to reach out to you in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Corey.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks so much for wanting to have us on your podcast. And I love what you guys are doing, and what you guys are doing is so important. So thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. It was nice to talk to you. And thank you to all our listeners. I just want to say thank you to Change Toothpaste, who sponsor this podcast and make it free for us to do, because podcasting is not free. And Emily and I are volunteers. If anyone would like to reach out to us at Becoming Less, you can find us on Instagram at Becoming Less Pod, or email us at becominglesspod@gmail.com, or go to becominglesspod.podbean.com for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.